Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning today Mizmor Tzadites, the 99th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. We're getting close to our first century. We have a lot to think about in this Mizmor. Of course, it appears in our Friday night davening, so it's something we ought to really be familiar with in terms of the words at least. Let's try to get ourselves familiar with the content. This Mizmor in content and structure is 9 psukim long, divided roughly into 3 sections. And we're going to look at the sections in depth, but just to notice that each of the 3 sections end with describing the Kedusha, the holiness of Hashem. So the end of Pasuk Gimel is Kadosh Hu, the end of Pasuk Hey is Kadosh Hu, and finally the end of the Mizmor is Ki Kadosh Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is Holy. This should obviously reflect the 3 Kedushos which we know that the angels describe Hashem with, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos Melaychol Aretz Kevaydai, which is what the angels describe Hashem as being in Yeshayahu Perek Vav, when Yeshayahu went up to the Merkava, when he saw the throne chamber of Hashem. And this is a expression of it on the human level. As we know, the Sifra Kabbalah tell us that the angels can only do Kedusha Lamala when Bnei Yisrael are doing Kedusha Lamata, which means to say that only when the nation of Israel is expressing the Kedusha of Hashem in this world are the angels able to follow suit in the lofty heavens, which is why we insert that phrase into our Kedusha, literally the section in the Shemona Esrei focused on the holiness of Hashem's name. And this Mizmor is reflecting those 3 levels of holiness. Each of the 3 sections, in fact, is reflecting a different aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first section, which ends in Pasuk Gimel, is about how Hashem is apparent in this world. He rules over the nations. His presence is now internationally imminent. Hashem Malach, Hashem is ruling. Yirgazu Amim, the nations will tremble. Yoshev Keruvim Tonut Haaretz, and he will sit enthroned upon the cherubs and the angels in the earth. The next section describes, because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be expressing judgment in the land. Mishpat utztakah Yaakov ato asisa. You did judgment with Yaakov and for all the people, the nation of Israel. Whether it be judgment for good or judgment for bad, this is what's going to be as a function of Hashem being in charge of the world. And finally, the last section is where it focuses upon 3 individuals, it sounds like, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them and judges them. And that's the general overview of the Mizmor. Let's take a quick look at some of the other aspects of this. First of all, it is parallel to Mizmor Tzadi Zion 97, which was 2 prior to this. They both begin with Hashem Malach. Hashem is ruling, and they both end with Hashem being praised over there. It's V'hoidu Lezeche Kodshoi. Hashem is being praised in holy remembrance. And in this one, it is Ramu Hashem Elokeinu Vishtachu Lahar Kodshoi Ki Kodosh Hashem Elokeinu. In this one, exalt the Lord and prostrate yourselves towards His holy mountain, for Hashem, our Lord, is holy. They parallel each other in terms of phraseology and structure. But it is important to also realize that in the overarching perspective over here, there is a little bit of a difference. The imminence of Hashem in Mizmor Tzadi Zion in 97 triggers Simcha. Togel Ha'aretz, the land is going to rejoice. In this case, it's not triggering Simcha, but rather fear. Yirgazu Amim, the nations are going to be in trembling. So this imminence of Hashem is going to trigger 2 different types of emotions in the world. One seems to be Ava, the one seems to be Yira, one is love, one is fear. It is also important to notice the superstructure over here, as the Da'at Mikra Rav Amos Chacham points out, that it sounds like Tzadi Vov and Tzadi Ches, 96 and 98 are parallel to each other in many ways, and similarly Tzadi Zion and Tzadi Tes are parallel to each other. So it's almost as if we have A, B in terms of pattern over here, that 96, 97, 98, 99 form two parallel sets in the expression of Hashem in this world. In fact, the Malbim goes on to say that the reason this is such is because we're talking about different modalities of Hashem's expressing Himself in this world. Tzadi Vav and Tzadi Zion, 96 and 97, were expressing Hashem's revelation within the realm of Hashkacha, within the realm of His providence within the laws of nature. And Tzadi Ches and Tes, which is the 2 we've been looking at now, is Hashem expressing Himself in a supernatural form. That's why there's more description of the angelic host. That is why it's a description of more power, which is being expressed in the miraculous way of expression. And this is what seems to be happening in terms of the superstructure. In terms of the events behind our Mizmor, Rav Moshe Chacham suggests that this was said in the Beis HaMikdash, where they could actually see the Kruvim, where they could see the engravings or the embroiderings of the angels, where they see the imminence of Hashem. And this is the people perhaps saying it as they leave the Beis HaMikdash, where they say the three levels of a Kedusha. That's on a Pshat level. However, the Ibn Ezra says this refers to the Yerguz Amim is referring to Haim HaRashayim, that these are the negative people in the world, the people who deserve punishment. They are the ones who are going to be fearful when Hashem is expressing Himself, which leads to the Radak and Rashi saying that this is referring to the war of Gog or Magog, the war at the of apocalypse at the end of time, in which we are going to see judgment exacted from those who are not behaving correctly. So it refers to a future event which we are anticipating in this respect. It is worthwhile noticing that this is the 10th of the 11 Mizmorim which are attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this one is addressed to Shevet Dan, as is expressed in the Midrash, and the reason for this is Dan is one of the more powerful Shvatim militarily, and was one of the ones who led the charge of conquering the land of Israel, which is why perhaps we talk about Yirguzu Amim, the fearing of the nations, while Israel's prayers are being answered as they enter the land of Israel. In terms of the places in our davening that this mizmor appears, this is the fifth of the six mizmorim we add to Kabbalah Shabbos, to the Friday night service, before we get to Lech HaDoidi. And there are many ideas in this mizmor which are framed in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So, for instance, Hashem Malach, Hashem is the ruler, obviously reflects the bracha, which we change in the Aseret Simei Teshuvah of HaMelech HaKadosh. We talk about Mishmat Utzdaka B'Yakov Atah, says Hashem, you exact Mishpat, that refers to HaMelech HaMishpat, the words that we change over the Aseret Simei Teshuvah in the bracha of Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Rishonah, where we end with HaMelech HaMishpat, and also the idea of Ba'amud Anan, where there's a revelation on Har Sinai to these individuals, to Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, is reflected in the Zichronos Atan Nigleza Ba'an Kvodecha, which seems to be at the beginning of Shofros, I apologize, which is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses Himself in this world. So many of the themes of Rosh Hashanah-esque. We'll close with one pasuk in the spotlight, and that is Moshe Va'aron B'Chohanov. Moses and Aaron, Moshe and Aaron are his priests. Shmuel V'Korei Shmoi. Shmuel is one of those who calls out his name. Korim El Hashem V'Yaneim. They call out to Hashem, and Hashem answers them. So why are these three people, why are these three individuals singled out of all the other leaders of the nation of Israel? So it sounds like maybe that these are the ones who most explicitly their tefillahs were answered. Moshe, Aaron, Shmuel all asked on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, and they were answered explicitly and miraculously in many cases. The Radak says maybe Moshe and Aaron were the greatest who served Hashem in the Mishkan. They were the Kohanim, they were the priests, and Shmuel was the greatest of the Nevi'im, so we're paralleling these two ideas. There's another way of looking at this, is that the Chiddah points out, quoting the Gemara in Nedarim, that there is that Moshe Rabbeinu and Shmuel were people who never took anything for themselves. They served selflessly. They never took any. They didn't even use the expense account they could have got with the job. There was no side benefits. It was totally and fully for the nation of Israel. I would also add, it is interesting to me, that Moshe Rabbeinu never really was a Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu did serve as a makeshift Kohen for the Shivas Yemei Miluim, for the 7 days of inauguration when he put Aaron into office, but he lost his ability to be a Kohen. Very fascinating story as to why he lost that ability. He was supposed to be. But it is interesting that there was a person who did accuse Moshe Rabbeinu of nepotism, of putting the Kohen into the family as his brother, and that was an accusation made by Korach. It is fascinating to note that Shmuel is a descendant of Korach, and in fact, Rashi and the Chumash tells us that Korach looked into the future, saw that Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shmuel, looked into this pasuk and saw that there would be a parallel, there would be a parity between Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel, and he realized that his descendants would ultimately be equal Moshe and Aaron, which was one of the reasons why he felt that he was able to be to challenge Moshe and Aaron, because he felt he would be ultimately parallel to them. He was mistaken to note that this was actually his children, but there is something interesting over here. In the end of the day, Moshe was not a Kohen, and neither was Shmuel, but they reached the highest and loftiest levels of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what they did have. Moshe Rabbeinu as a prophet, and Shmuel also as a prophet. Shmuel was perhaps the closest prophet who ever came close to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was never quite Moshe Rabbeinu at all, but he was the very closest in terms of the rest of the prophets. Lo Hipim Bidvar of Arts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that none of his prophecies or even his regular words fell to the ground which were not correct. There was something very powerful about Shmuel, which ultimately there's a dramatic irony in history over here, that even though they aren't really necessarily Kohanim, they are the greatest Korei Shema, the greatest callers to Hashem. The Malbim actually goes on to say, and this is how we close, is that this explains the two Romimus. That you notice that the second and third section of this Mizmor, Pasuk K and Pasuk Tes, close with the Romimu section, which are directly parallel. The Pasuk K reads, Romimu Hashem Elokeinu v'ishtachavu la'adam raglav kol eshu. We talk about the elevation of Hashem, where we should prostrate ourselves and bow down to Lahadam Raglov, which is literally his footstool, as he is holy. And in the last verse in Pasuk Tes, it's Rabbi Hashem Lakenu Vishtacha Ula Harkod Shoy Kikod Hashem Shalom Lakenu. We're praying and bowing down to the Harkod Shoy, his holy mountain. The Malbim says this is a reflection of the two elements or modalities of Hashem's operation in this world. One is through nature, through providence, and the one is through miracles. When it comes through providence, ultimately there's no trickle down effect in this world, which is Hadam Raglov, which is the footstool of Hashem. When Hashem chooses to act miraculously with these individuals as he did, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, where with Shmuel he created a storm, when Shmuel Anavi requested it immediately, there were many miracles which were performed for Shmuel, and obviously countless miracles which were performed for Moshe and Aaron, where miracles superseded the natural rule of things, then people got a real sense of what was happening over here. They understood that Kikodosh Hashem Elokeinu, and it wasn't just as a Hadam Raglov, it wasn't just as the footstool, it was actually a Harkot Shoy. Is imminent and among us, and that's the parallel which is being described over here between the two modes of operation of Hashem. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.